Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Just got off the phone there over the break with my dad.
Uh-huh.
Down in Florida, he is north of Tampa.
Did you wish him a happy birthday?
I actually called him on his birthday.
Okay.
Yes. Good news. So they got the all call to get out of there in his area of Hudson at 7 a.m. this morning.
Ooh, I wouldn't have gotten that.
So they basically have evacuated that entire town. So I talked to him, and I said, how are you doing? He said, good. And I said, did you evacuate? He said, oh, hell no. And I said, well, what's it like there? And he said, well, it's really windy, and it's raining. And I said, okay, but don't worry, he's safe. He lives in a trailer park right across the street from the Gulf of Mexico.
Yay!
Oh, he'll be fine. Did you ask him, like, hey, did you give this a lot of thought, or is he just like, yeah?
He's got one of those roofs that look like you turn it with a tin, a little
like sardines or something.
Is he like
open
in a
can right off, yeah.
Is he like in a mobile home or like the, what do you call those, the manufactured houses that you put together? What's he in?
It is on cinder blocks.
Okay.
So it's not like a trailer.
It's not on wheels, yes. But, it's a trailer.
It's hurricane fodder. Either way, that's basically what I'm hearing right now.
Right. I mean, these things, you can pick them right up off the cinder blocks depending on the...
Jesus, man. What is he doing, Miles? I just looked up where Hudson is.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. He is right in the...
That is his point. Like, you're across the street.
They told us to evacuate at 7 o'clock this morning. What are you doing? I could tell you had friends over. He was drinking.
It's almost 6:30 there now.
But that's kind of like, it's a Florida sport. Riding out a hurricane, believe it or not.
I know.
People love doing it. They run to the liquor store. They come up with a plan of attack as far as food. He has a generator. I mean, they really prepare. My uncle has a generator at his house.
You can prepare, but your house is sitting on cinder blocks.
But my uncle has hurricane windows. My dad lives in a trailer.
Right.
Will you at least go over to your uncle's?
It's a six-hour drive. Six and a half, seven-hour
take
drive.
That as a no.
But he's driving right along. The hurricane's still in that area. So no matter what, I mean, his safest route of travel would be go south, but that's toward Tampa. And he's an hour from Tampa. So either way, I mean,
Doesn't change the name of the hurricanes. Hurricane Omar. He'd pack his S up and get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Where were you when you were told it was time to go or be evacuated? 206-803-ROCK.
Is your dad Florida man?
Definitely. I mean, he's got Bush Light tall boys in his refrigerator.
Right.
He eats grits for breakfast every morning.
What's it, right? Fishing in the afternoon?
Watches baseball every day. Watches the Rays. You know, it's his life.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
He's a legend down at Coconuts.
Yeah. Well, not too far off. It's like, what is the name of that place? It's not Coconuts, but it's got that ring to it.
Right.
Hold on. Let me look. I'll tell you what it is in a second.
By the way, a couple of quick texts here. Some good news. Good news, guys.
Good news.
For those of us in radio, we don't hit the EAS on 9/11. Country, under attack, doesn't matter.
Thankfully, there's good news.
Thank you, Alan Thicke, the ghost of. We even have his hologram.
Thankfully, there's good news.
Someone here says, hey, Thrill, they did use the EAS in Spokane, Washington, where Mount St. Helens erupted. I listen when I hear that noise. Good. I'm glad to know there is something catastrophic that can happen where we actually get around to using this thing that we test.
All right. So if you were to go to Hudson, Florida, Here are the bars that you could go to. We have the Fisherman's Shack, Skinny's Bar and Grill, Sam's Beach Bar, the Dirty Mullet, the Drunken Duck, Primetime Sports Bar. Yeah, those are the basic ones.
That's it. That sounds about right.
Yeah, they're still open.
That's authentic Florida.
But when they do these evacuations, businesses must, non-essential businesses must close.
Must close, right.
Yes.
Unless it's a Waffle House. That seems to be the only thing.
Well, yeah. That is the indicator.
Right.
It is.
That is the true thing. A couple more texts. This goes back to tornadoes. Since I grew up in Kansas playing Little League Baseball, one summer we were at a game. I'm up to bat in a few, and it's like the fifth inning. Well, skies are blue, when all of a sudden my mom grabs me from the dugout and says, we need to leave right now, as the wind starts to pick up. Not 5 minutes later, we're in the car, and the tornado sirens start going off. Apparently, she got a phone call from a friend a town over where the sirens had just started going off. It was all heading our way. Before those sirens went off, though, I was pretty mad at her for pulling me out of the game. Yeah, I can understand that. Mm-hmm. I've never been in a tornado situation. I've been close to where tornadoes are, but never, like, in their path.
I've had one in my backyard.
Any immediate danger. And that's right, you said that. Basically,
my neighbors.
Took out your neighbor's house.
Took out my neighbor's big tree, put the oak tree into my neighbor's roof. But fortunately, that was on top of his garage. If it would have gone into the house, right where his bedroom window
was. Yeah. That's what's crazy about tornadoes to me, right? So with a hurricane, it's not like you got worse damage than your neighbor. There's probably people in a 150-mile radius doing the same thing you are, right? Tornado, big-ass thing, tears down the street, wipes out your neighbor's house. Somehow, your house is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Right? It'll take out half of a school, but the other half, still standing. It's just, and you can see, like, the scar mark on the ground where it does what it does.
I mean, it's pretty rare, but there was one that hit College Park, and I remember, I don't know, I must have heard it, well, probably on the radio or something.
Yeah.
But I definitely was, like, I think, I don't know, in between a doorway or something with a mattress on top of me.
Yeah, so you're not, when you live in the northeast of the country, you're not prepared for tornadoes. And not that you want to deal with it in Alabama and Kansas, but you practice at it. They probably run drills in school and all that kind of thing. And then the idea of earthquakes on the East Coast was completely remote. And then we moved here 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yo, look, man, it's something you got to think about.
There's a plant in West Virginia. It's Union Carbide. And there's two in the world. There's one in West Virginia and there's one in India. And they would have to evacuate that town probably no less than once or twice a year,
right,
based on something that was in the air. It was always a chemical, and they always told you what the chemical was.
Like you know what it is.
You'd never heard of the chemical, but it's the same kind of crap that when a train derails, bringing that chemical in from Ohio or wherever.
Right. You Kentucky, don't know what it is, just stay in the house.
They shut the town down if, you know, one of those trains gets involved in a derailment or whatever, but they're all pretty well going to that chemical zone.
Right.
To drop that stuff off, and once a year, something would go wrong in the plant.
It's inevitable.
And they'd be saying, hey, which way is the wind blowing? And wherever that went, get the hell out of there.
That's one of the terrifying things with trains, man. There was a story years ago, and this is why the EAS is supposed to be important for radio, but this train derailed one of the northern states, like Minnesota, Michigan, something like this. Anyway, small town is where it derailed, but it's carrying whatever it was carrying, and it was bad, bad. It may have been like hydrochloric something. I don't remember, but basically, you take a breath of this, you drop dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these radio stations, they were all automated. So there's nobody there, okay? So this train derails, and it derails in a little bit outside of a residential neighborhood, but, like, the one guy that has to get up super early in the morning for work sees an orange cloud, knows it's not good, calls into the radio stations. Well, he doesn't know that nobody's there, right? It's all this corporate crap. They just don't spend money. So there's no one there. He can't reach anyone because radio was the first thing to let people know what's going on. So he calls, like, the police and fire department. Well, they show up. They don't know what it is. Firefighters start dropping like flies because they don't know that they're breathing
in. Right.
The cops start dropping like flies. By the time anyone recognizes what the problem is, several hundred people had already dropped dead. And again, this is a tiny, tiny town. So that'd be like 100,000 people in Seattle dropped dead, right? As per capita, it's like that. So believe it, after this whole thing went down, and this really wasn't that long ago in the scheme of things, that's when the FCC stepped in and said, look, man, you got to have at least one live person at the TV stations, at the radio stations, et cetera. I mean, it changed the laws because people died.
Where were you when you were told it was time to go or be evacuated? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Me, my girl, and my Johnson.
Girl and your Johnson.
That's right. I was circa 1988 is when I got the nice police send off by the local Mukilteo Police Department. not because of anything specific, but because of all of the different things that I was associated with causing trouble. And they wanted to make sure that I was actually indeed leaving town. They followed us in our U-Haul up and out of town for a good old send-off.
So how does this go down? Like, you go to court and they're like, listen, we don't trust you anymore. Just leave.
Well, fortunately, there was no charges pressed on any of the incidents, plural. And so, therefore, it was more of the unofficial. There was, I'd say, 3-4 different times. We were partying out in the woods. We had multiple woods outside the apartment complex at one point in time to get us out and to try and enforce us not partying in the woods as teenagers on weekends. You know, we got our boom boxes. We got 40s and Mickeys and OE, and everybody's passing bulls around. We're all 16, you know, and stuff like that. They actually... I watched him do it. I knew what was on the trees outside the woods, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a no trespassing sign. They just put the doggone thing up. I mean, literally, as we were partying out in the woods, they did that second. Then they came out and said, oh, yeah, you got to go. You know, trespassing. And then another time was catching us with some acid at 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning. You know, as we're all having fun out in the woods. Another time I dropped a piece of pot in front of the cop. And like I said, fortunately, no charges were pressed on any of the shenanigans.
But it sounds like a handshake deal. Like, you leave town.
Just go.
And we're not gonna charge you with anything.
Pretty much. I mean, as we were going up the big Mukilteo Hill up towards Boeing, my mom had said, you know, they are making sure that you're getting out of town. See? And I looked in the rearview mirror, and sure enough, they followed us to the edge of the city limits.
How far away did you end up moving?
Out of state.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Coeur d'Alene. I moved over to Coeur d'Alene for a year.
Okay.
And then came back. There was another time, though, I was working at the Dairy Queen there in Mukilteo, and
you moved back to Mukilteo after a year?
I did.
What is it about Mukilteo that just keeps bringing you back? You can't escape.
My roots.
Okay.
Roots and my friends and stuff. But I was working at the Dairy Queen, and the police crime, yeah, right? Finished school, too. You know, being able to go back and say hi to everyone was the biggest thing.
Right.
But it was the police would swing by in Dairy Queen and have their lunch, and I was working there at that point in time, even though I was still in school. And so, I mean, I made a pretty mean, you know, bacon double cheese ultimate. And I'd made a couple of those, and there was a time that me and a buddy, we were... You know, out drinking, driving, and I got pulled over because I fishtailed in front of the cop, raining out, ass into the vehicle. It had, you know, gotten loose, and he pulled me over, and we had open containers, and he was one of the police officers I ended up, you know, serving lunch to regularly, and so he told me, he's like, you got two choices. You can take your beer, and you can, or I should say, you can keep your beer, and... We'll take in and charge in for DUI and or you can dump them out right here, put them in your trunk, and go home. So, of course, I chose B.
Yeah. It's probably the smartest. Anytime you get
I don't know that any teenager has chosen A.
Yeah, that was my dad's thing about joining the Navy. You know, I just grew up knowing that he'd been in the Navy. And I was like, man, good for him. And then maybe 10 years ago, the story kind of comes out. And I won't go through the entire thing, but essentially the police... We're like, son, you got two options. You can put your ass in jail for a couple of years, or you can join the military. And that's how my dad became a veteran. I'm like, dude, that's how you did it. By the way, Miles, before you continue, we got a text request. Someone said, I really want to know the menu at the Dirty Mullet. So I looked it up. Now, there's a couple things you need to know.
They got
to
have that little nut bar.
The Dirty Mullet in Florida. First, a few things. It says service options, outdoor seating, dine-in, delivery, false. I like that. Under amenities, what do you think their amenities are? Restroom, and they are done. Now,
looks like they got shrimp and chicken wings.
Now, wait, they got more than that, but understand, the menu is subject to change at any time without notice. It is basically printed out from a computer. They have all kinds of egg rolls, shredded chicken and buffalo sauce or mozzarella cheese, pepperoni slices, tomato sauce, mozzarella cheese, shredded chicken, honey barbecue sauce, mozzarella cheese, and for the healthy people out there, roasted broccoli, carrots, onion, zucchini, peppers, mozzarella cheese.
Okay.
That's what you're looking at the Dirty Mullet.
Where were you when you were told it was time to go or be evacuated? 206-803-ROCK. I did tell my dad I'd call him tomorrow morning to make sure he was still alive. He said, if I'm floating, I'll call you.
If I'm floating, I'll call you. Good on him. Hello, Katie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola.
Hola. So, I live at the base of the Boat Creek Fire.
Is that a famous fire?
No.
Okay.
No. Wow. Okay. Well, you said, the way you said it, I'm like, was it last summer?
I know, I'm going through my head like the Boat Creek Fire.
Then we know exactly where you live.
How many acres were taken down in this?
I think it was like, it was over 10,000 acres.
Jesus.
Okay. That's a lot. So that's pretty substantial.
But it was all on mountainside of mountains that are 5,000 feet tall. I live at the base of Grotto Mountain, and leaving for work that Saturday morning, I heard a weird noise behind me. I thought somebody was using a flamethrower at 7:30 in the morning.
That sounds like something they do in Grotto.
Why would you think it was a flamethrower?
Some people, but not in the middle of September. We're smarter than that. We like to think so.
Prove it.
I mean, you have flamethrowers. You're not telling. It doesn't say super smart.
Come over. I'll show you my flamethrower. Like, what?
Do you really have a flamethrower?
I have a weed burner, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
I got you.
That's probably the residential flamethrower.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
How close did the fire get to where you live? Because somebody texted in earlier, same town, so I assume it's probably the same fire. That's the only time I've heard of Grotto was today, and it's twice.
It's me.
Oh, that was you.
Okay.
Yeah. I turned around and looked up at the mountain, and there were flames and a giant plume of smoke coming down on top of us.
Now, do you evacuate, or do you wait for them to ask you to evacuate?
Actually, officially, nobody told me to evacuate.
Oh, they wanted you to die, Katie. Mm-hmm. They told everyone else.
Well, it's unincorporated King County, so they'd rather we're just not there.
All right. Did your house burn?
No. Luckily, no homes were lost.
Okay. All right.
And thank you to all of the firefighters and the hot shots, because Grotto and Barings really would have been wiped out.
Are you saying there's a bunch of hot shots in Grotto?
Well, not anymore, because the fire's out.
All right.
No, okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I guess they go where needed.
Okay, all right. Very good.
So she's the one that texted it in. That makes more sense. I'm like, man.
That makes sense. You wouldn't know it.
Are you looking up Grotto?
I'm looking at it right now. That is... I mean, it's unincorporated King County, but that is tiny.
Where were you when you were told it was time to go or be evacuated? 206-803-ROCK.
For instance, you ever driven by like Skycomish?
Sure.
That's like the next big town.
Oh, okay. That's where you go to do shopping.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Not even there.
Have you? Skycomish. I've only been there once. It is. Yeah. I think it's old logging and like the railroads there. It was kind of sad.
Okay. Sad Skycomish. Hello, Ben. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So last year, my best friend and I went to Cabo, and we had a good old time. But one of our stops was, of course, Cabo Wabo, as you do, because we just wanted to.
Of course.
I think you have to.
Yeah, just walking around, looking at the pictures on the wall is entertaining.
Yeah, it's law, I'm pretty sure, that you have to go there if you're American. Now, the food was absolutely horrible, and this ties into the story. The food is garbage, but it was the best cover band we've ever seen. So we were having a good time either way. But my buddy went to the bathroom, and he had a pocket knife on him, just, you know, because, duh, we're in downtown Cabo. And the security guard saw it and was like, hey, you can't have a knife in here. You got to leave. And he was like, wait, what? I can't have my pocket knife? It's just a little knife. And he was like, yep, you got to leave. So he came back to the table, and he's like, hey, bud, we got to go. We got to leave. Security told me that I can't have my knife. And I was like, what? That's silly. And he was like, yeah, see, look. And one of the big security guards was like walking toward us at that moment. And I was like, dude, just sit down, be chill. We haven't had any problems so far tonight. Like, they're not going to do anything. And sure enough, the security guard walked right past, kind of gave us a little eyeball, but it was a different guard than who had talked to him. And then after a couple minutes, I was just like, you know what? Dude, these are the worst nachos I've ever had. This is the worst, you know, taco, worst taco I've ever had, dry as heck. Do you want to just dine and ditch? We're in our 30s. We've never done it. And he was like, sure. And so I got up to the go to the bathroom, and he left after about a minute of me being in there. And I, you know, did my business, washed my hands, walked out, walked past the security guard, and I was like, hey, man, you've done a really good job tonight. I saw you dealing with that drunk guy earlier. Good job. And he's like, thanks, dude. I high-fived him, high-fived another security guard, and walked straight out.
Confidence goes a long way, doesn't it?
It really does, man. Yes. Change any situation.
Where were you when you were told it was time to go or be evacuated? 206-803.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Mighty 99.9 KAISW and KISW HD1 Seattle. The Rock. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room.
Going out the return of Who Sucks Last right after emails on our question, where were you when you were told it was time to go or be evacuated? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Wade. Welcome to the men's room.
Uh-oh, look out.
Hola.
Hola. Now, the reason they say look out is, so just a little backstory. When I was growing up, me and my extended family, we used to go down to Mount St. Helens. Deer hunting, elk hunting, fishing, camping, all that kind of stuff was my stepdad's kind of favorite area. And we were down there one year, and the Forest Service guy come into our camp spot, and he's like, yeah, you guys need to get out of here. There's activity on Mount St. Helens. And so, yeah, we bugged out. We got back home. This was in May of 1980, I believe it was. And we got home, and then like a couple days later, Mount St. Helens erupted. And even in Federal Way, I jumped on my BMX bike when I heard the news on the, you know, TV or whatever, and I rode down to the end of our block, and I could just see this giant mushroom cloud and go, holy cow, we weren't down there. We went back there, you know, after the dust settled and everything, and just seeing the trees with the mud line, like 10 feet high.
Yeah.
In the forest, you know, like along the highway and stuff. I mean, that thing wiped out everything for, I mean, miles.
Were you supposed to be there at that time? In other words, would you have still been camping on that day if you'd have stayed?
I mean, we may have been, but we took the Forest Service guy's advice right. And we got out of there. And, you know, it was kind of a trip because, you know, seeing that big mushroom cloud, it looked like a bomb, like an atomic bomb.
Sure.
And you know, we got that onshore flow or whatever here. And so it was all blowing east, so it was, you know, cool for us in Federal Way, but you know, my grandparents lived in Yakima, and boy, they got hit hard.
How long did it take for all that crap from Mount St. Helens to reach Yakima?
Like, literally, probably within an hour. Dang. I would say.
Yeah, but you think about some really good fertilizer. You know, I mean, it's farm country. I'm just saying, you couldn't ask for better fertilizer once you sweep it off the streets and off your car and off your house and off everything else.
Right. So we made a trip over to my grandparents not too long after that. And my grandpa had a pile of ash in his backyard that was probably 5 feet high, 6 feet by 6 feet. And, you know, one mountain's trash is another man's treasure. He used that ash to make sidewalks through his garden area and fruit trees.
That's actually kind of cool. I mean, that's resourceful.
Wait, wasn't there a famous, like, old dude that lived somewhere, like, on Mount St.
And
Helens?
And refused to leave?
Yeah.
I think that was Harry Truman was his name.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that story.
He refused to leave, and then he died with that eruption.
But I believe, like, and I'm paraphrasing, but, like, if it erupts, then I'm dying with it. Like, this is my home. Yep. I'm not leaving. No matter what you tell me, this is where I'm staying. So how long did it take to convince your stepdad, right? Because I'm thinking, I'm out camping. I got my kids with me. We're doing all the things I enjoy. And telling me there's seismic activity, just knowing how I am, if I had not heard that previously, I'd have been like, yeah, you know what, dude? I'm going to go ahead and chance it. If you said there's like 8 grizzly bears, you know, that are rabid, I'd get the hell out of there.
Not only that, as far as your knowledge of volcanoes and how
we were out right away.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And, well, how they're.
I mean,
how,
he was serious. I could tell by the look in his face. He's like, yeah, you guys need to go.
Because at that time, you had a couple different. What you learned in school was, look, you have active volcanoes and you have dormant volcanoes.
Right.
So when you hear dormant, you just believe that that's an inactive volcano.
Right.
And that was what Mount St. Helens was. It was a dormant volcano, just like, you know, Mount Rainier.
Rainier, anything.
Dormant
yeah.
volcano. And that was the first questions that we had in school was, if it's a dormant volcano, then how did it blow? And our teacher was like, and I remember this, I don't know.
Oh, even the teacher didn't know?
I don't know. Because we are teaching you that a dormant volcano is inactive.
We were just told, because we kind of had the same question, right? Because you think dormant, explained, they said, there's another one called extinct. It's a dormant.
Oh, okay. All right.
Dormant is hibernating. You're just not quite sure when it's going to wake up. But when it does, it's going to be ugly. Active, you can figure it out. Yeah.
Speaking of Mount Rainier, too, my last job as a maintenance director, our medical facility was located right next to Puyallup River. And so part of my duties were to do new hire orientations for fire safety and disaster preparedness. And being located right there by Puyallup River, I mean, everybody knows it's pretty much scientifically proven that if Mount Rainier goes, it's going to take the path of least resistance, right? And it's going to come right down through Ording, Sumner, Puyallup, or whatnot. And I lived right next to the river, too. And so I always had that in the back of my mind, especially after going through the whole Mount St. Helens thing. I'm like, am I going to get enough warning? I know they got sirens and all that stuff, but I'm like, am I going to be able to get out in time?
I mean, those Laharas move quick.
Well, they see the bulges, you know, normally a week out or 2 weeks
usually,
out.
Usually, yeah.
They can kind of see a little bit of what is starting to happen.
Well, and I know what he's talking about. When I lived down in Sumner as well, we were right next to one of those rivers, and if it rained enough, like they were starting to bring out stuff to kind of keep the river out there from flooding the entire area. It's like that mountain goes off.
Didn't you have a moment where, just because of the rains, if I remember this, when you and your wife were living there, like you said, because you live kind of across the street-ish from it?
Yeah, we were right there in the same complex, and it never got to the point to where people needed to be evacuated, but it did get high enough, and I went out there a handful of times to look at it. The debris that was being washed down was horrifically incredible.
Did it get close to, like, that playground?
Playground.
I'm just remembering your old place, like looking at the giant rabbits. There was like a playground. And I think the river was on like the other side.
Okay, so yeah, so where that playground was actually within the complex. On the other side of those buildings is where that river was at, and it never got close there. But there was this big hilly berm that was built up there. I don't know if it was sandbagged and then just kind of mossed over or something like that. But they had a natural barrier that was there, and then they would actually, for like the walkway paths, they would bring out these big old inflatable, which I think they actually fill with water. To keep it in place. Yeah, right, to inflate and keep them in place there. So we weren't ever sandbagged there, but that river did get high enough to where after it had settled, we walked the dog, and there was a trail of leaves where the water line had clearly gone up and over the walking trail that was back there. And again, same thing. I wasn't thinking about the rain that was coming down. I'm thinking about if that mountain blows, this is going to completely wipe out everything that's down here, and I'm kind of the same as Wade. Like, am I going to get enough am I going to get enough warning to be able to get out of here?
I'm going to be a pessimist and say no. Unless, like Miles says, so at Mount St. Helens, you know, they're monitoring this thing and you get your seismographs going off and all this. But then St. Helens, visually, they're like, it looks like a pregnant woman now. I mean, you can see this bulge growing. So there's no question. But I feel like if right near blue, I mean, how much time, even if you're blaring the sirens, right?
Right.
Give you 10 minutes notice, maybe.
And there was one way to get out of that complex.
That's what
I'm
saying.
The road that I lived down, like, there was no, hey, let's take the back way out. There was one road that you could get out there, and traffic in Sumner already sucked. Getting people out of there and evacuated, I was like, this is going to be an absolute massacre.
It's always the thing I wonder when you see, you know, because, like, you know, see the forest fires and all this kind of thing anywhere in the country, and people are trying to evacuate. It's not people responding to the warning. It's that everyone did respond to the warning, and then it's two-lane highway. No one's moving.
Right.
Right?
So, they can't.
I just, like, I don't know the answer is other than buy a helicopter.
Side note with Mount St. Helens there, it wasn't until, honestly, this year that my dumbass figured out that Harry Truman was not the former president that died up there.
Wait.
No.
Seriously,
no,
though. It didn't make sense to me either. But I was like, the guy's name is frickin' Harry Truman.
But you thought that he
retired to Chehalis, Washington, or
you never thought, like, how is that not a bigger deal than
a
former president?
That's exactly what it was.
How is he still alive?
I mean, he'd
Harry
have been super old.
This is 1980.
Well, I didn't look that deeply into it. It's Harry Truman,
Harry
man.
Truman, when did he die? In the 60s, the 50s?
I don't know. When would Mount St. Helens blow?
1981.
So you're thinking that a former president's like, I'm not leaving my cabin in the mountains.
How is he still alive at the time? I did wonder all that. But to be honest with you, I wondered it enough to be confused by it, but not enough to actually investigate.
Where you go, like, there's only one Hamburglar. Obviously, this guy just has the name.
Were you flying? Were you flying over in an Abraham Lincoln plane?
In an Abraham Lincoln plane? Yeah.
All right, in Mike's defense, Harry Truman, the president, died in 72.
Yeah, 72. Miles.
He was only off by 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, he was also 88.
He died because of a mountain, Ted.
Dude, I've heard the Harry Truman, the mountain guy. I think I must have heard it before, but somebody, as I was up by Mount Baker ski area, so somebody was relaying that story to me this weekend. And same thing, Mike. His name was Harry Truman.
Right.
And they were like, yeah, dude, it's kind of famous. All right, whatever.
Remember I told you guys there was a bouncer used to work at a bar that I used to frequent in Baltimore. His name was Benjamin Franklin.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the cops came in. He didn't have his ID. This whole thing went down. They take him down. He's a smart ass. He's getting roughed up a little bit. He's back in about 4 hours just shaking his head. I swear to God. So about a month and a half ago, I'm reading about something that's going on in Baltimore in the neighborhood that this bar was. A little bit of a renaissance. But they go to this bar saying this place has been there for 500 years. And there's a quote from a dude, and I swear to God, Benjamin Franklin.
Same dude.
Now he's a bartender.
All right.
He's probably my age or 5 years older, so it makes sense for this kind of place. But I'm just like, so I showed my wife. I'm like, this is the guy that I told you the story about that got roughed up by the cops because they thought he's being a jackass because they kept saying, what's your name? And he's like, Benjamin Franklin. Okay, wise guy.
Baltimore, also the place you don't move 4 blocks away from the time that you were born.
Nope. So, and again,
you stay in that general
vicinity. Keep in mind, we moved here 20 years ago. I stopped going to the bar 10 years before that. So this guy has been a part of this bar. And this is not a glamorous bar. I get guys that work at a bar, like a nice steakhouse, like, and tips alone, I'm bringing home $72,000 a year. It's understood. This place is, like I said, there's heroin addicts in the back. The floor is sticky. People choose to pee outside as opposed to going to that bathroom because that bathroom is that gross. My man is still there.
Dude, I told you when I was, 19 or 20, I quit my job at that bar in College Park. There was a package store and a bar, right? And I'll never forget, like, the one manager, is he's like, I just talked to the owner. He's not going to give you any of those Thursday, Friday shifts back for bartending. I said, okay, well, I'm going to quit. And as I was walking out, I'll never forget, he goes, you're really going to regret this. Now, you fast forward till 2 years ago, right? We've been out here doing a radio show, having fun. I went in there. That guy was still working.
He's
there.
Still there.
Did he remember you?
Barely. I had to really jog his memory. But they finally tore down that bar. So I'm like, I don't know. What
are you going to do now?
He really regretted that.
Yeah.
Where were you when you were told it was time to go or be evacuated? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ty. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
So it was September of 92. And me and my ex-wife and mother-in-law were on vacation in Kauai and spent a couple of days going around the island. It's not the biggest island out of all the islands. Not a lot to see. But seeing in the news, a hurricane was headed our way. And within a few days, Hurricane Iniki came, and it was the worst hurricane Hawaii had had in over 100 years.
Damn. Did it seem like that as you experienced it?
The what now?
Did it seem like that when you were experiencing the hurricane?
Oh, it was scary. Yeah, it was downright scary. It was just 2 weeks after Hurricane Andrew had hit Florida and turned all those mobile homes into, like, just trash everywhere, and people died. And we evacuated when we heard the sirens early in the morning, the end-of-the-world sirens.
Where do you evacuate to on a tiny island?
South side of the island, probably.
We're about midway on the island, on Kauai.
Okay.
So is it just basically get away from the beach, I guess, would be the main thing?
I would say, like, the Waimea River, because that's going to flood from the canyon and all that stuff.
So is it get away from the beach? Is that the basic thing?
Yeah, we went a mile inland to get to a school that was fitted to be able to withstand stuff like that.
How many other people were jammed into school with you?
Oh, there was a lot. It was scary. It was sad. There was an older lady that was next to us, and she used the restroom on herself because she was so scared, and it was crazy. And then my ex-wife, she was nuts. So she had a video camera and was going up to the window and was filming a lot of the trees and the wind and things getting blown around. And then when we got back to Seattle, I used the footage that she filmed, and it was on Channel 4, Steve Poole, I knew him. He put it on there, and then Channel 11 had it too. So,
how long did the hurricane last? How long were you stuck in the school?
We were there for, we went, it was early in the morning when we evacuated, and then it was the next day. And it's funny, ethnically, I've got one of those kind of looks that people look at me and say, I know you're something, but I don't know what it is.
Well, that
native.
I'm a human.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's safe for anyone.
So I learned real quick from the Hawaiians. They asked me, hey, are you local? And I said, yeah, I'm local. And they just thought I was Hawaiian. And they let us leave and share condominiums and go back to where we were staying at.
All right. Okay. I mean, I'm with you. Look, I have a buddy, right? My old box coach, Rob. Like, he is of Mexican descent.
All right.
Right? But then he lived in England forever, and somebody in his family's English, so he has an English passport, right? And he says it all the time. He's like, I'm racially ambiguous, especially in Europe. He's like, when I go to Italy, he's like, people just speak Italian to me.
Oh, really?
And he's got to look at him and be like, I don't speak Italian. And then, like, when he's in England, he could pop into, like, a Cockney accent, like, legit, and talk. So, like, yeah, it's just funny. People are never sure. Like, I don't know what to do with you.
Yeah.
Remember the first time you heard Lennox Lewis speak?
Oh, Lennox Lewis was shocking. The worst still is Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Because every role he did.
He was Stringer Bell.
Right. Yeah. Every role was an American accent. You're like, brother's British.
Right. Now he's like, hey, you tell him we back up.
When my daughter last year taught in Spain, and she said, you know, there's certain pockets of, you know, just of local anger, so to speak, as far as
name,
you know,
a country, it doesn't have it, you know, right?
Immigration, people like that. The people in Spain absolutely hate the people from Central America who end up there because they think that they are butchering the Spanish language. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they cannot stand that. So there's two groups of people that they absolutely are just, they won't talk to, like, they turn their back on, like once they hear you speak. So her knowledge of Spanish was more of a Central American version of it.
Okay.
And she eventually started lisping everything and figuring it out. But at the time, you know, it was you know, as far as being able to pronounce it.
Yeah, they probably hated her.
Exactly. Well, they're just like, look, we need to teach you real Spanish.
Pretend you're speaking Spanish, but you're Mike Tyson.
Pretty much.
Yeah. You know? I mean, honest to God, right.
You know, whenever you see a S, Ibiza. It's a TH. Yeah, right. Exactly, all these things, you know, so. So they, I don't know.
Senor.
I don't know why there's a migration from Central America to Spain. But there is, and sure. I don't know if it's working, you know, having a job or whatever the deal is, but yeah, they're not.
Right. And then where Barcelona is, Catalonians, their language is a little bit different, and they are like, oh no, we're separate from the rest of Spain.
Yep.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where were you when you were told it was time to go or be evacuated? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Mark. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So this is back in September 9/11. I was stationed at class at Naval Station Everett. And we saw the initial planes hit the building. And, we're kind of wondering what was going to happen. And then the command master chief came in and said, hey, you need to send all your students home back to their commands and because we're going to shut down the base. So we did that, and me and the guy I was teaching with were cleaning up the class, and about eight of my students came back. And we're like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, our ship left. And we're like, what? Yeah, our ship left. And we're like, okay. Well, go back to your apartment. You don't understand. The ship is our house.
Oh.
So we had six guys and girls that basically got evacuated, but had no place to evacuate to. So, yeah. Long story short, we had to figure out where we could get a barracks room for them or some type of hotel.
Where did the boat go?
Well, I do. So basically, when natural disasters like in Hawaii, like if a hurricane or down in Florida, like in Mayport, they basically go out to sea and they, go to a muster area, or they try to outrun the storm. So because, it's easier for them. They're more, stable out in open ocean as opposed to next to the pier.
Okay. All right. Makes sense.
All right. Yeah. Well, yeah, that does make absolute sense.
Where were you when you were told it was time to go or evacuated? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi. Hola, bitches.
Hola.
All right, so I wasn't told to evacuate, but every fiber in my body told me that I needed to evacuate. It was back in 2001 and working construction. We're in downtown Bellevue, and at the beginning of the job, we've got a hole that's the size of half a city block excavated down 70 feet, 80 feet. And in the middle of it is a tower crane, and I'm sitting up in the tower crane, and that is the time that the Nisqually earthquake hit.
Oh boy, you were in a crane.
Yeah.
You were in a crane during an earthquake.
Nisqually earthquake.
Oh my.
Sitting 300 feet in the air. The thing about it is, down on the ground there was still earth, dirt equipment in there, excavators and roller and. I would feel the guy start the roller up every day, and when it vibrated, it would shake my whole crane. And so that's how I felt the earthquake. At first, I felt this shaking, and I thought the guy just started the roller up. And then I felt this bang, like he ran right into my tower crane. And so I grabbed my radio, and I yelled down at my phone man, what is going on? And then all of a sudden, the whole crane started shaking and waving, and the boom started going up and down. And then I just yelled, earthquake!
And no one could hear you because you're in a bucket by yourself.
Well, but I was yelling it over the radio.
Okay.
So I told my phone man, I said, land it. So I crashed it down. He landed it. I sucked the hooks all the way up, killed the power on the crane, and I just started going down the tower. And every tower is 20 feet, and I would climb down like halfway and then jump, halfway and jump, and all the way down. And when I got down, everybody on the job was in the center of the hole because everybody was worried about the walls caving in. So everybody kind of got together in the center of the hole. And the superintendent came over the radio, and he says, everything all right out there? Everything good? And everybody's like, yeah, everything's holding. Everything's fine. He says, all right, somebody tell Mike he can get out of the crane. They're like, he's already on the ground.
How far do you think it was swaying back and forth?
It wasn't so much. Tower cranes sway back and forth all the time. This crane moved like I'd never felt or seen a crane move. The boom was bouncing up and down.
Jesus.
And they're not built for that. So I was, it was very
difficult. Yeah. Time to
I always wondered what it would be like to be in a tower crane in an earthquake, and I found out, and I don't ever want to have to deal with that again.
Okay, well, then you answer my question, and it's about what I thought. I don't want to be in a tower crane during an earthquake. No.
Coming up, the return of Who Sucks Less, and we've got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.